Okay, it is 10 a.m. on Monday, May the 20th. We'll call to order the Tarrant County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers meeting. And do roll call, please.
Aubrey Inspo.
Present.
Rick Brunson.
Present.
Robert Aldridge.
Here.
Robert Brooks.
Here.
Sam Hall.
Here.
Jonathan Ingalls.
Here.
Ray Richardson.
Here.
And Valerie Washington.
Here. Move to the consent agenda. Any questions or commentary on the consent agenda?
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Brunson. Do I have a second on the consent agenda?
Second.
Chief Hall, second. That was the legislative update. Mr. Paxton.
Good morning. Good morning. You didn't get a vote on that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, go for the
all
vote.
All in favor of the consent agenda?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry. No worries. No worries.
You earned your money.
Come from Austin and the state legislature, and I'm here to help. Where do we begin? So, everybody in Austin and around the Capitol is glued to the primary runoffs. Now, election, early voting started today. The election day is next Tuesday. And, you know, back in March, we had 9 House Republican incumbents lose. And we have 10 in runoffs right now, and that includes Representative Stephanie Click from Tarrant County and Speaker Dade Phelan from down in Beaumont. And I can tell you from working on campaigns that it's never good for an incumbent to be in a runoff. Historically, the percentages just aren't there. I mean, voters have your name ID, they typically know who you are, and if you're in a runoff, that means they're not happy. That being said, there is ungodly amounts of money being spent in these runoffs, especially down in Speaker Phelan's race. So I wish I could tell you I've got a good feeling one way or the other. I just don't. We'll just have to wait until next Tuesday night and see where things shake out. And even if he wins, obviously there's no guarantee that he will be Speaker again, but he's Speaker until he's not. He's been a big, big proponent for 911 and helped us during the last couple of sessions tremendously. In the meantime, the Lieutenant Governor and Speaker have issued their interim committee charges. And if you're not familiar with that, what happens is every interim, the Speaker and the Lieutenant Governor direct their respective committees to study various issues and make recommendations for the legislature for the next session. So they will hold hearings around the state, come up with recommendations, and usually those recommendations turn into legislation. Speaker Phelan has directed the House Homeland Security and Public Safety Committee to monitor the implementation of House Bill 3290. That is the bill that extended the deadline we have to spend ARPA funding and also created a vehicle for 911 districts to be able to receive additional state appropriations, which we did with the broadband infrastructure bill that was passed during a special session. And the Lieutenant Governor has directed his Senate committees to study the implementation of that bill, see if there are any recommendations that need to be made, and then if we need to have legislation next session, we will. While all this is going on, the Alliance, 911 Alliance, is evaluating proposals from Texas A&M, University of North Texas, and Texas Tech to try to come up with a third-party study that looks at our wireless fee and shows that it's just not sustainable in its current form moving forward, and what would a fee increase look like moving forward. And along with that, there would be a component for public opinion survey. And the idea behind that is we could take the data to the legislature and say, see, we have a major university in the state that is showing this is not sustainable for the future, and voters support a wireless fee increase. But the Alliance is reviewing proposals right now, trying to tweak it and going back and forth with the schools. And it's not guaranteed they're going to do that, but they are looking at every option on the table as we go into next session. And really, the last thing I want to talk about is probably the most important, and that is when we go into next session, the state's going to have a $20+ billion budget surplus. It's not as big as the last legislative session, but it's still a huge number, and that's good and bad for us. It's bad in the sense that when the legislature has such a huge budget surplus, they're very reluctant to pass a fee increase. Last session, fee increase was the same thing to them as a tax increase. It's not to say it won't happen, but we just need to know the environment going in. The good thing is, if we can't get traction on a fee increase, there's so much money available in the state budget that we can try to pursue other options to keep moving down the road until a fee increase is palatable to the legislature. And you know, my recommendation to the Alliance when we finalize our legislative strategy is going to be we have to do two tracks. One, push the fee increase as far as we possibly can, and if we just can't get there, at the same time, we're moving the other ball, which is whatever options are available for us to get additional funding to keep moving forward, again, until we can get a fee increase done. So, you know, after this election and we get a little further down the road, we'll have a much better idea of where things stand in the legislature, you know, who, you know, obviously committees won't be announced until the session starts, but we can get a good idea of who wants what committee and where they will wind up. But that's where we stand right now, and again, it's all about the primary runoff elections.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions for the board? Thank you. Appreciate your time. All right, move to the executive director report. Ms. Decker.
You'll see in your board packet that you have probably 2 months of public education analytics and monthly call volumes. We've done a whole lot of training this by the training team these last couple of months. Plus, we were the TCOL hours provider for the continuing education credits at the conference, and I think we did about 2,500, I can't remember the final number of how many hours were uploaded for telecommunicators and those that are licensed that went to the conference that needed some. Any questions? I know y'all got a lot of stuff to look through. Yes, sir.
Do non-Tarrant County 911 entities pay tuition to attend our classes?
No.
Okay.
Part of, and I give you a little history of that.
Yes, no question.
I know, but I gotta give you some history. Back during when we spent those many years going and meeting with all the chiefs and sheriffs to try to get licensing passed, one of the things that they said was, we can't support this because all of our funds that we have need to go to our police officers training, and we don't have anything left over for telecommunicators. And we said, what if we could bring training to Texas at either low or no fee for telecommunicators? And we had the support of TCOL using their training platform for digital courses or online courses, and then in-house courses. Most of the districts that provide training would provide it free so that we could live up to our promise to the legislators and the chiefs and sheriffs. So that's kind of, that's the back end of that. Now, NENA, APCO, they charge for, you know, those entities do charge for their classes. New employees, Kat Cunningham is not here. She is actually out presenting. She has hit the ground running, and she's an amazing young girl, and she will be here next time to say hello to y'all. But I also have our new training coordinator, Alberto Buena, and he did a massacre it.
That's good.
Alberto has been an instructor for us for years. He is amazing. We always have asked him to come back, and finally he actually applied, and we said, yes, please come and let us purchase 8 hours of your day, which he puts much more in than that. But we're very glad to have him, and that gives our training team three training coordinators, and we have NCIC the next 3 days in case y'all didn't have anything to do and you needed something exciting.
So, where'd it come from?
So, I originally Connecticut. So I dispatched in Connecticut for 30 years. Prior to that, I was in the fire service, EMS service. Landed in Texas and went to Denton Dispatch. There for about 2 years. Still there per diem, so once in a while if I get bored, I go dispatch there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Your board action items, which is the little checkoff list of things that we do, is actually in your pocket of your folder. It's just there for your information to make sure that we're on track doing what we said we would do and the questions that you ask. I apologize, Kevin is in Alaska.
Good for him.
Yep. Good for him. They're up there in the nice weather. And the last one will be talked about in executive session. So just give y'all an update on what's happening there. And then Abby is going to give you a look at the Board of Managers portal.
Well, good morning, everyone. I've been working on the Board of Managers portal. It is password protected. Password super easy. BOM, all capitals, BOM, 9TC, or TC 911. So real easy to get in there. I set it up to look like the Board of Managers page, so that way there was some familiar outlooks for you so you understood and was able to be like, oh, this looks familiar, I can totally do this, it's awesome. So district overview is just, I mean, these click back to different pages of our websites, and then I will get updated information from the appropriate staff to keep updating what I need to put it on the website. So if we want to click around, we have the history of it that takes us back to, good, it worked. they go back and then organizational chart. So these are just attached files on the back end of the website. Doesn't take too much space. And then all you fabulous people. And then our staff contact list on the end there, admin, the 911 call volume reports, board of manager action items. So a lot of these won't be updated, a lot of them will. Like our policies aren't going to change a bunch, so they'll probably stay the same for a while. You know, Nina architecture, that's going to take you right to the website. But like board of action items, that's going to update. So as things update, it'll go down, just like the board of managers page. So everything will just kind of fluctuate down there. And you can get all of everything updated. And like I said, I'm just going to label it as the month of when it occurred. I feel like that's pretty simple and direct to the point. And then as this one evolves, there'll be different documentation that will be attached for that if there's other spreadsheets and things like that for the person that's giving the project charter for that. And then
Sorry.
It's okay. I love your excitement. The PSAP outreach, so every quarter I'll put the TC 911 Connect out there, our new publication, so you can have that also. And the great thing is too is like if you're wanting to share it with someone else in the department or something like that, you can just take the link and then just send them like that specific link. If you don't want to send them everything, you can be specific. And the next financial and everything from March is up there, and then strategic planning and legislation is also identified on there too. So like I said, some things will be updated, obviously a lot, and then some things will be periodic, and then some things will just be like staff list or your guys' page and stuff like that isn't going to be updated all the time. So.
And for this pilot, we used the March Board of Managers packet to make sure that we had everything that was in the packet could be at your disposal if you needed to go back and look at things.
Anybody have any questions?
So everything in this portal, though, is all open record public information?
No.
Then we probably need to change the password after this meeting since you broadcast the password on the public.
Oh, great. Awesome. I can totally do that. Thanks for bringing that up. I can fix that. Thank you.
Okay. This looks like an excellent start. Thank you for everybody's work on this. I think this will be a really valuable resource for everybody.
I think it looks good. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I know I want an opportunity just to kind of go mess around and play around with it. And I might have some comments at our next meeting.
After I change the password, I'll email them.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
you.
Thank you, Abby. I appreciate it. She's done a lot of hard work, and we've gone through it and looked at things. And they are things that you have seen before. They'll be familiar. If y'all have any questions, please don't hesitate to let us know.
Thank you. Okay, let's move to the TC911 project.
I've got a question.
Go ahead, Rick.
Did we have any district personnel that received any kind of state or national recognition since the last time we were here?
Yes. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. One of them is in the classroom, and one of them is sitting right here. Abby, Public Educator of the Year, and Sophia, Educator of the Year. And we had, I want to say, six of our staff presented at the conference. I got lots of kudos from everybody. Thank y'all.
Awesome.
Good job, Rick.
Well, one of the charges we had given you was let's raise the visibility of the district at the state and national level. And this is a solid benchmark that, yeah, you're doing it.
And don't forget, our Elena Brown was voted in as the second VP for Texas APCO. So in 2028, she'll be president.
Good.
I did get an offer from Nina, but I turned it down. We're busy right now.
We also have several on standing users groups.
So, what did you say? Sorry.
Several that are on standing users groups for National Nina.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I'm sure Mr. Brinson will figure something out.
Okay, let's move to the Tarrant County 911 project update.
For Sarah and Chris.
600 Willow Springs.
Yes, that's all right.
You can.
Okay, excellent. Well, good morning, everybody. Chris Hoddy. It's nice to see some faces actually here in the conference room versus the video. So, welcome. All right, so what I'd like to do is sort of bring you up to date on where we are with the project. With phase one, thankfully, we are drawing to a close on this part of the project. The general contractor, we have two general contractors. One is for the data center itself, and the other is for the building, the wider building. Power Associates, Inc. is in the final stages of installation. They'll be turning out the data cabinets, the uninterruptible power supplies, and the specialized data cabinet cooling system. Vendors are assisting Sarah and Monty in the turn up of core services, such as Vesta, the AT&T network services, and then all the admin technologies that are required. So that gives us a chance to go ahead and get things up and running and burn those technologies and applications in. The general contractor, Francis Pittman, is substantially complete with their final punch list for phase one. So we're getting very, very close there. Just a few outstanding items, nothing major. And full population of the data center, just to set your expectations, will begin to take place incrementally over phase two. So we're gonna show you some cabinets and whatnot later on in executive session, and you'll see where that will happen. All right, next slide, please. Oh, I'm sorry. And the construction, oh, here we are. For phase two, just wanted to let you know that we did add back into the plan the regional backup unit in that facility on the third floor. It shifted our architectural schedule by 30 days, but it did not change our final substantial completion date. So we were able to do that really without interruption. Construction documents for phase two were generated on May the 10th. They were submitted to the city of Fort Worth for approval and permits. So we're in very good shape there as well. The general contractor, Francis Pittman, right now is working on the GMP, or a guaranteed maximum price, for phase two. We're expected to have that delivered to us in the district for review June the 20th, and then we will be coming back to you all for approval. Construction commencement is scheduled for July the 1st. Substantial completion remains May 31st, 2025, and again, all that's pending board approval.
So we will have to have a special session. Originally, the original board of managers date has been moved back to the 17th, so we'll have to have a special session to make that July 1st date.
All right, next slide, please. And for phase three, we had informally something called phases 2A and 2B. We decided to separate those and rename that actually to phase three. And really the primary reason for this is we don't want to intermingle the FEMA and City of Fort Worth water study that has to be done for the broader property because it has its own timeline. You know, so it doesn't impact our CO or move-in date. These are things that are happening on the site exclusive of the building envelope. So this scope will include things like fencing, the security access, driveway, parking, earth moving, and landscaping outside the building envelope. Aspects of this phase will run concurrent with phase two, and we are beginning the planning cycle. We're already into it, started the 15th, and we'll run through July the 10th. We'll have final plans there. Okay. And next slide. As you all recall, we had some issues that we discovered with the property, not only from the original inspection, but after we took possession of the property. Root causes for water intrusion have been identified, and we have solutions in place now that we intend to execute over phase two, and that's for windows, doors, chilled water lines, and the roof itself. I believe one of the chiefs had asked this question last time, this was regarding septic for City of Fort Worth. It was a great question. We did go to the City of Fort Worth and ask where we are on having sewer access adjacent to the building. There are no plans right now for anything that's going in there with municipal funding. The closest sewer line that we could take advantage of is north of that called Spring Ranch Estates, but it has a couple of challenges when you look at it. When you look at flow studies, the direction that you would need to go based upon elevations, make it challenging. And then the second thing would be is that tying in would require going to the City of Fort Worth. There's a whole review process for that, and it would generate a fair amount of additional cost for infrastructure, engineering, and design services. So we did go through meeting with several different septic companies, and we did select a company to go ahead and do that work for us. They've already begun the work and will be substantially complete here in a week or two tops. Okay, so I think we're in real good shape on that. And it was relatively inexpensive to the options of tying in the sewer. Now that sewer is going to reach us one of these days, mm-hmm. and we may opt to tie in at that point in time. But you know, the city will be bearing that cost in that case. All right, and next slide. So just want to know if anybody has questions or comments, we can fill in on the project.
More to come in the executive session.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, appreciate it. Okay, and you may want to update, Ms. Thank Sarah. You.
Good morning. So, as y'all know, we're working through our next-gen core services project, and we are working on a backroom hardware refresh for Vesta, as y'all are aware of, and that is in progress. System 3 has shipped and has been inventoried, and System 4 is nearing its ship date. That will help us with our next-gen core services project. Two kind of projects kind of running simultaneous. The circuits for next-gen core services are in progress for installation at the hosts. Some are complete, some are still pending, but that is making progress. Our milestones so far that we have met are the project kickoff. Next milestone will be testing in the lab, but we're calling it a lab. We're going to use the hardware refresh as a quote unquote lab, do some testing on that to verify NextGen Core Services functionality, and that will be our next milestone for $560,000. And then we've got, with that, the test plan development. We actually have a meeting today on what we're going to test on that lab system for NextGen Core Services and develop that test plan. So that is where we are.
Can you remind us again of the tentative go-live date for NextGen Core Services for the district?
Tentative go-live. Well, we had a date, and then we have the hardware refresh that kind of slowed things down. So we actually have Motorola coming tomorrow to help configure the hardware refresh. I'll have to get back with you on that new date with the hardware refresh that kind of slowed some things down.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that as well. I think that's a good update, but I feel like I don't know if it really tells us what questions we need to ask or where we need to be concerned or where we need to help support or push.
So we have, I will say, a little gotcha that has come up just actually last week that has also delayed the project schedule. We found out from AT&T that we cannot get configuration on some circuits for at least 90 days after install, which was not baked into the original schedule, and that is going to cause significant delays. So we'll get back with you on that timeline.
And Sarah, isn't our legislative hard date December 26th for
what you mean for reimbursement or for
reimbursement? That we're supposed to have everything done?
We'll have it go live in 25. It's just a matter of which month and how.
Which season?
You're
going to
nail me down.
3 month window!
We have to move all the PSEPs over onto the new hardware refresh, and that is what's slowing things down. Once that's done, we can start migrating to NextGen Core Services.
You know, maybe in offline we can visit. I think in City of Fort Worth is where we brought in a vendor to help us look at some of our 911 service, just how we're providing the services, and I think it would be helpful to connect with you as we're all moving forward with that. I think some of your updates will help inform our updates.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Anything else on the TC 911 project updates? Well, then we will go ahead and move into executive session pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Texas Government Code. The district reserves the right to convene an executive session with our legal counsel. Also in sections of Texas Disaster Act, Section 418.183. Also, pursuant to Section 551.071, consultation with the attorney.
That's good.
Thank you. Okay, it is 11:33 on Monday, May the 20th, and we will reconvene into open session. Okay. You want to do this thing?
Yes, Valerie, I just wanted to make sure that I captured what your ask was about an after-action report, that once our investigation is complete, we have 90 days to complete an after-action report. That's our internal policy. And then to meet with Fort Worth and MedStar to discuss the lessons learned and things that we each went through.
Yeah, like I said, we put an incredible amount of resources into our cyber security plan and how we've handled different attacks that have come our way. And sometimes it feels like you're a little island and you don't have to be, because there are people that can give you some resources and help.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, seeing that there are no other action necessary pursuant to executive session, we'll move to public comment. Seeing that there is no public comment, we will call this meeting adjourned at 11:34. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much.